It is Thursday, the 26th of March, 2015, and this is episode 240 of Digital Outbox. Hello, welcome to another episode. I hope I sufficiently covered up the fact that I did just get all the words wrong just then, but it just about came out right, so we'll keep wrong. I'm Chris, hosting in my own stylish manner, and Ian is here as ever to support me and make me better.
I am like your little crutch.
I wasn't expecting that. There we go. Yes,
no,
you are the crutch to my crotch. So let's get on with some news.
No.
Feel free to edit.
I was not expecting that.
feel free to edit. Let's get on with the news. So Facebook have been chatting to us at their F8 stuff, their conference. And day one, they kind of announced quite a few things. So let's just walk through those announcements. Starting with their Messenger platform. They've got some big plans for their Messenger platform, including animated GIFs.
So yeah, but this was this. So basically, Messenger isn't just a messenger app now; it's a platform with its own app store. Is what I'm picking up or what I'm getting out of this, which is a bit weird.
Yeah, really weird. So their whole concept is they don't want Facebook to be seen as just Facebook. They want to be seen as this family of applications, and it was more. It was interesting to see how much the other applications, things like Instagram and the other bits and bobs they bought, was it WhatsApp they bought as well, didn't they? All those things, which they've deliberately kept in isolation. They were very much on screen, in the background as very much part of Facebook now. Because in some respects, they've been trying to keep that hidden away because they don't want to alienate users who don't like Facebook, effectively. But now they're saying, all these things are kind of come together. They're going to be kept separate, though, but they want to be a family. So at some point, someone's going to redesign their icons to make them all have common bits, I am sure. But yeah, so GIFs inside their Messenger app and ability to put videos in there and several other things. So and basically opening up to developers.
And I think the other thing I noticed some people saying was they actually liked it because it meant it was cross-platform. You weren't tied into something like iMessage, so you had to be on an Apple device. And you can be anywhere.
Well, indeed, they want you to be anywhere and telling them where you are.
Exactly, but when Apple brought out iMessage, and iMessage was like, you've synchronized, your text messaging and also this messaging platform on the Apple side, and they said we're going to open source it so anybody can do it, and they never got around to doing that.
Their Facebook comments are coming up for a refresh. So they've been around for a while and they've actually been in use and quite robustly in use for across quite a few sites, really. Now they're adding real-time element to it. So no need to refresh your comment or your page anymore to see the new comments. They will ping into your timeline on the page. So that's an update there.
TechCrunch uses them. And actually the kind of, it did calm down because remember the kind of free commenting systems were always spammy. And it is less spammy because you are tied to a name.
Yeah,
your Facebook account is you, so it's
attributable, basically.
You still get arseholes, but
of course you do, because the world is full of them.
Yeah.
embeddable images, Facebook videos. Sorry, what am I talking about?
I was going to say embeddable images. It's like 1996 all over again.
I went back 10 years. I lost 10 years. Embeddable videos, basically. So you can take a Facebook video and you can embed it into another website, so your own website or elsewhere. Guess just trying to get in YouTube's back door.
YouTube and ads. So
of course, yeah. Well, wherever they can put a video, they can then display an ad. So, and they're they're a big enough platform and enough videos get posted there that will happen as well. Spherical video. What the hey?
Basically, if you put an Oculus on, you'll be able to look around a video.
Right, okay. So, because Oculus they bought not that long ago, right?
Yeah, and if you're on a normal, PC, Mac, or tablet, iPhone, or whatever, seemingly you'll be able to kind of spin around it, be able to.
So, you'll be in a video, but also able to look around.
Yeah, this felt like, we can do it, and someday I'll use it.
and they've got to say they're doing something with Oculus, right? So fair enough. Pass for Internet of Things. So this is them trying to run into a gaping hole in the market, which is the fact that with all these devices which are internet aware, there's currently no common interaction between sort of different, competing products in effect. So there's no way that two competing products can talk to each other currently. So Facebook have come along and said, right, we'll come up with an SDK that can be this common language between this Internet of Things, so all these little objects can talk to each other in a common way. So they've jumped in there quite early. I think we've heard a couple of other people doing this, but again, Facebook have the might to maybe rush this through.
And I mean, Apple did HomeKit last year, and they're still saying it's coming. So they're saying I think they're all trying to compete for being the glue and grab all that information. And Facebook will just see it as more data, more social graph nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they're all thinking. It's not just Facebook thinking that. The reason they want to do it is because they want to have the access to that.
Exactly. But it was one of the ones that at first you think, ooh, why are you doing that? And it's like, of course, it's data. It's more things about you. It's more things about your house. You've left your house at this temperature. So
they've got shareholders now. They need to shove their hat in the ring just to, you know, to just be there and just in case they win out. And like I say, they're big enough that they could. Analytics for apps as well. So apps have had basic analytics for a while now, but this is going to be giving app owners much more analytic data on who's using their application, how they're using them, the demographics and all that kind of stuff. Stuff which Facebook kept hidden away from most normal users, but now they're going to be making it a little bit more open if you want that information, basically.
Yep. And that was day one. Day two was today, and it was more back-end stuff. Lots of people thought it would be Oculus, and there was not a lot.
That's all everyone's waiting for, right?
Yeah. I think they did something about laser beam internet broadcasting, which was a bit weird. But, yeah.
I mean, considering how many things there are going on in Facebook, it's kind of lightweight. There's no big announcement there. There's no killer thing. I guess that, you know, that's not what they're about at the moment. They're trying to consolidate, I guess.
Yeah.
Windows 10 hinted, strongly rumoured to be going to be a free upgrade for all and sundry, not just legitimate license holders of, say, Windows 9. No, that's not what we had.
Windows 8.
Yeah, we missed 9, didn't we? That disappeared. Not just Windows 8 users, but even pirated earlier copies of Windows are rumoured to be getting the free update to the latest version.
Yeah, and this was they were doing an event in China, and seemingly the piracy in China is a lot worse than in other parts of the world. So they kind of did target it to say, you know, if you are, you know, we are upgrading all qualified PCs, genuine and non-genuine, to Windows 10. Now, what a lot of people thought that meant was, hey, I've got a pirated Windows, I'm going to get Windows 10 for free. But they're still seemingly, so yes, they'll update it, but you'll still get the challenges, you'll still get you're using a non-official copy. So it's not as so much that they're giving out free copies and still expecting other people to buy it and yours is free. So there's still a bit of debate about it. Initially it was China, and then they started to say, actually, it's everybody. I think what they're saying is it could still potentially pop up and say, you know, you try to remember what was the Windows, it wasn't verified user, was it?
It was something like that. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, so how long ago is that?
Yeah, but it was all
you keep
that
thinking about that. But what it does mean is at least they've got a load of users on their current platform and using current applications and devices, not using really old software which they can't support anymore.
No, and I think they're desperate to get off Windows 8, which there's obviously millions and millions of users, but they're wanting to get them off quickly. And yes, also 7 is getting sticky, a bit like XP was sticky. So they're wanting
because
to get
it was
people,
the best operating system. But
yeah, well, so they're wanting to get people off onto 10.
Yes. Was it verified genuine? Something like that. Gosh.
But it was also, I've got like genuine advantage or something in my head,
yeah,
as well.
It's going to bug me. Because you couldn't install things like their security software, Microsoft Essentials and all that kind of stuff.
But also, it created a lot of false positives.
Yeah, it was
tell you sometimes, like, You know, Windows Genuine Advantage, is that it?
Nah. Anyway, I will get on to the next story. You go and have a Google on that. Twitter is making...
It's Windows Genuine Advantage.
There you go. Where Twitter's going to make verified users able to avoid trolls more readily. So as long as you're a verified user, and I'm guessing that does mean the ones with the blue tick, which tends to only be celebrities, they can... they're rolling out a feature whereby they can tick a box and it will automatically filter away anything which it identifies as being from dodgy accounts, from accounts that look like they might be dodgy, and also filters in from the content that's actually in those accounts to basically hide away the horrible content from that they receive every day, and just actually make it more streamlined to what's real content.
Which sounds great. I thought it was quite funny. Threats offensive for abusive language would take off half my Twitter stream. duplicate content would probably take a good third of it off, especially when it comes to like Apple conferences or tech conferences and people are tweeting the same thing,
yep,
or same links. Because I've always thought that about Twitter, that surely you've known, especially retweets, surely you've known if I've tweeted it or one of my...
If I've already seen it, therefore I don't need to see this retweet.
Yeah, you know, so take that away. So that sounds good. And we'll see how it goes. They had to do something. They said earlier this year that they are going to take this seriously about how to make it a better environment for everybody. So it'll be interesting to see if this is just verified users at first.
It's got to be rolled out wider than that, surely, because it's not just there's quite a lot of young people that are suffering from these kind of attacks, right? And there's been some sad stories in the news over the past few years about people, you know, suffering these kind of attacks. So it's got to go wider than that. I guess the biggest people who are affected by it at the moment are these verified people, these celebrities. But yeah, it would be, I think they have to roll that out further.
Yeah.
Twitter's also launched Periscope. So we talked last week about how they squashed the Meerkat app. They squashed the Meerkat app and they were going to launch their own Periscope, which is effectively Twitter live streaming video.
Yes, and we've just tried it.
We did.
Tried it just before the podcast.
We got trolled.
It was good to know that I fired up the app and started broadcasting, and within 3 seconds got my first Periscope comment, which was "get cancer." thanks for that.
Wonderful. the service seemed very good. So basically, as soon as you set it to tweet out that you were live streaming, it sent a tweet, you clicked on it, and then I was immediately shown a window where I was watching something that was about 20 seconds, trailing by about 20 seconds, I'd say. And I saw bits of your room that I'd never seen before.
Wow.
You took me to places I'd never been before, Ian.
Oh, no. Yeah, but it's kind of amazing that with a bit of 4G, and an iPhone, you can be broadcasting anywhere in the world.
It's bonkers. I mean, what it will do is it will bring out the best of the worst of the internet again, right? We'll have some amazingly, interesting streams, and there will be some, majority of people talking inane rubbish.
You think like, all the
kind like we do.
You know, well, think of all things like Ferguson. You know, it's like you will be watching all these events live.
Yeah, from different
really
angles.
Really easily. You know, it's...
Because everyone's pointing their camera, right? They're just going to be pointing and streaming now. So yeah.
Yep.
Amazing. The service looked good. And, you know, will it overtake Meerkat? Meerkat seems to have some traction. But I have to say, not as much as when I was reading the sort of reports on this, I would say Meerkat hasn't got as much traction as they seem to think. They've clearly got a user base. But I think it's not wide enough yet that a real simple Twitter version is not going to overtake it.
And the thing I found frustrating was that if you didn't catch somebody's tweet as it was broadcast, you would click on it later on and it was shut down. It was done. It didn't
and
store
that was,
yeah, that,
so that was a Meerkat downfall. When Periscope, they got around that, right?
And they've got quite a nice client, because when I did that first video, when there was like, before I knew it, was 7-8 people, you know, watching, yep, and probably thinking, oh, there's bits of his room I've never seen before.
Yeah. Got a few stories about mobile this week. Basically, I don't know what's going on, but they're spending lots of money. UK mobile operators are going to limit the amount a bill can be from a stolen phone. So if you get your phone stolen, they will limit your kind of liability to £100 as long as you report that stolen within 24 hours.
Which is a good thing. It's voluntary. EE's doing it first the next few weeks, then it'll be Virgin, O2, then Vodafone.
It's a little bit smiffy that they even feel the need to charge you £100, right? I guess, you know, they're a business, but seeing as they got so much money.
There was a consumer advice, you know, guy on saying we had a push for 50 because we thought 50 was more than enough. You've already lost your phone because it's been stolen. It feels a bit like a double punishment, especially.
Yeah, £100 still is a lot of money, right? Especially for, you know, younger people who just really don't have that kind of spare cash. For people
like
you.
So old. Younger people.
I know. I've come into the realization that I am actually quite old. 40 is not a long way. And for some people.
Cock.
Telefonica have finalised their £10 billion sale of O2. So lots of money sloshing around. Selling O2 to Hutchison.
Yeah, so basically Three. So Hutchison are the kind of parent company of Three, and Three have bought O2. So the plucky little upstart that we always used to kind of say, plucky little upstart Three, they are now massive.
But, right, so... But Hutchison used to be Orange, didn't they? I'm always certain that Orange used to be Hutchison Telecom. So there's all these swapping and changing. And obviously Orange got bought out by the T-Mobile EE sort of conglomerate thingy going on. So I can't keep up with it all. But anyway, they're all shuffling around. And basically Four have now turned to Three. So... We've got three big mobile phone companies, and this new kind of partnership is going to be the biggest of the lot. So they're going to overtake EE, which is bonkers.
Yeah, that's bizarre because I've just looked up Orange. An inception of Orange brand was 1990 in the UK with the formation of Microtel, a consortium of Pactel, British Aerospace. So like wow. BAE Systems, who I work for actually. How bizarre.
Yeah.
And then July 91, the Hong Kong-based conglomerate Hutchison Wampa, through a stock swap deal with BAE, acquired a controlling stake in Microtel.
So it was Hutchison Telecom was Orange. So and it's almost like they sold off Orange to EE, made them the biggest firm, and now O2 is now going to come under that brand, and they're going to be now the biggest. They've kind of sold off their big asset and now have taken over as the largest again. There's some sort of weird inside dealer going on here. There's got to be. There's a lot. There's, you know, four people all just handing around these companies left, right and centre. And every time they do it, they're getting these massive share windfalls and stuff.
Because three have went from lowest to highest. So it's now O2 and Three are the biggest. Yeah. EE are second and Vodafone.
The diddlers.
Yeah.
Which, you know, and it does make me feel a little bit suspicious, because what's the benefit to the consumer? There isn't really one, so we're losing another provider, basically. BT, basically they're returning to the mobile phone market now, so maybe we have got, you know, interest there. So they're gently coming in at the moment with a partnership with EE?
It is with EE, and BT are buying EE.
Yeah, so they would like to buy EE.
Yes.
BT want to buy EE.
And I think the deal has been accepted, but it now has to go through all the monopolies and mergers. Kind of nonsense.
Because will suddenly then open potentially grow EE's user base to something massive. Because BT used to be in mobiles, but they moved out.
BT Cellnet. Yeah, so BT Cellnet was then turned into O2.
See what I mean? Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure I used to have a BT Cellnet handset. An old phone.
Did I? I think I did as well. Mm. Now, the interesting bit about this, and it's a long time. I mean, we're talking about this as if it's a couple of years ago. 13 year absence.
Oh, dear goodness me.
So, how old are you?
I was feeling old.
But the interesting thing was just the pricing on this. So it's 4G subscriptions. So basically they're doing SIM-only deals at the moment, and you can then go and buy a phone through them. But I don't think the offerings are that much at the moment. But it was the price that got me. So it said it was starting at £5 a month. And I was thinking that'll be for, you know, rubbish. Mm-hmm. But it was for a small amount of data. But the one that caught my eye, and what they're basically saying is, if you've got a BT broadband account, take £5 off.
Yeah.
So the cheapest is £10, but you take £5 off, so that's why it's a fiver. The most expensive part is £25 a month, but that gives you 20 gigabyte of 4G data.
Yeah, and if my phone contract's not far off that. It does say unlimited data, but you know it's all under fair usage. So yeah, to say that there's 20 gigs there to use, which is more than most fair use data allowances actually allocate.
Oh, absolutely, because BT are using the EE network, and EE currently the most you can buy is 5 gig. You cannot buy any more. So it seems bizarre.
So it's almost like they rented this corner of EE's network off and have said we're going to use that all for data, basically.
Yep, and that 20 gig. I think I'm still under contract for EE for another couple of months, but EE now feels quite expensive.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at that amount of data, because it's unlimited text, unlimited calls, you can't tether.
So you're going to sell your EE, no go, tethering. Go to BT, which is still EE.
pretty much. And so people are saying, so
it's
are EE going to change?
It's fake choice, isn't it? It's weird.
Well, it's a bit like, remember when BT bought Plusnet and they said, well, surely Plusnet are going to align with BT, and it never did.
No, they have
the
their
pricing
still much,
and everything is still, it's still almost like separate brands, separate companies, separate tiers.
Once again, what's the point? Don't know. Members of the House of Commons are going to be very happy after the election. Not only will they have won their election, they will be getting a free iPad Air 2. And there we go. So it's a decision that they're hoping will save some money in the long term by, I guess, eradicating some sort of paper trail, which ain't going to happen, but we'll see. They'll all enjoy their iPad Airs. But it's nice to see that at least they're trying to keep up. But I imagine that most of them won't want it.
Well, there was they've quoted that they've saved around $4.5 million in printing cost.
Yeah.
Which is...
How did they come to that figure? It's rubbish.
It's
and
suspicious.
Why did they use dollars?
Because it was like a TechCrunch copied the article. Right. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
But no, yeah, who knows? That's probably predicted and envisaged and doesn't take into account the fact that Sir Lord Fauntleroy decided to chuck his in the bin.
And considering that SNP and Salmon are going to hold the power, they all come with a tartan cover case.
Of course they will. They'll have that choice, I'm sure. Google Nexus Player, bringing Android TV into the UK on March 26th. This was already for pre-sale in America, but they are going to bring it over here as well. Today.
Today.
So that's it's like... it's a bit more advanced than their Chromecast, right? So it's actually a set-top box, so it doesn't actually need to have another device on the network. It can sort its own streaming out. You can get to a page that will get you to YouTube, whatever. You don't have to have it on your app. So nice and cheap. I say cheap in this market. Actually, that's quite expensive now, £80. It's moving so quickly. But yeah, it's not breaking anyone's bank.
And it's there, £8. Right now.
I know. And Amazon has released in the opposite direction, they've released a stick version of the Fire TV. So their Fire TV is already available as a little streaming box, but they've released a stick version. So this is basically the size of a USB stick, and it actually pokes into the HDMI port. Again, sort of an opposite move, but they have got voice activated search and a remote control on this device, and it's got a little bit more storage and stuff like that. So get you into the Amazon infrastructure without having to buy their little set-top box, which the Amazon Fire was already available. This is going to cost £35, but if you are an Amazon Prime customer, you down to £19, which is
too late.
Again, just sneezed.
Yeah, it's too late, but yeah. You had to order it by yesterday.
Ah, there we go. So you're too late. But if you do sign up to Amazon Prime, you can get it for the equivalent of £7 after you go through all their refund palaver.
And by all accounts, if I was actually quite tempted just to order one, just because there's a spare
slot. Same reason ordered the Chromecast, right?
Because
you're a man of such means that
sod it.
You lose that down the side of your sofa every day and don't even black about
it. It was more just to try the different. It was just to try the different platforms. But I will resist the urge to slap you virtually and carry on regardless. But
I shall do.
By all the accounts, it is a very good device. But no.
Yeah, but no, there you go. Okay, we're on to the section we call picks. Do we have a pick?
I may as well.
Okay.
Just because you saw it when I was doing my video. I have an iPad Air. It has a SIM slot, and
wow, that's a great pick, Ian.
Who knew? And I just always wanted a little bit of data. But I always refused to kind of sign up to like 10, 15 quid a month contracts because it just felt like it was 100 quid a year or 150 quid a year that I was just giving away for no reason. I just want a little bit of data, not a lot. And I was going through like 3 months, three sims with 6 gig on it for like a tenner. And that was a nice way of doing it. You know, it's like 40 quid a year, but then they were hard to get. So I moved to EE sims and they started to get more expensive. So I stumbled on this. This is a sim. It's called KnowHow. So you go to Curry's website. And yes, it's branded KnowHow, but they were doing it for £25, 12-month contract, and it's 1 gig a month. And for me, just to get, you know, tweets, emails, internet, bit of connectivity on
was
the iPad.
Was it 4G or 3G out of interest?
Was it? Sorry,
was
that?
Was it 4G or 3G out of interest?
It's 4G if you're in that area. So it appears as KnowHow on your carrier, but it's actually the 3 network you're connecting to. So if you can get 4G on 3, it will give you 4G.
There you go.
I thought that was quite an inexpensive way of getting some data.
That's a lot cheaper than, say, hotel Wi-Fi whenever you're out and about or whatever. Again, it's not going to be good for streaming lots of Netflix or whatever, but it's awesome for just doing all your emails and stuff and not worrying about it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and if you're only doing that, I don't know, once a week, you know, you're not probably going to break that 1 gig.
If it's just emails and a bit of Facebook and YouTube, I'm sure you'll survive easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Good pick. That is the end of this week's podcast. Thank you very much for listening. And as ever, if you want to find out more about us, we're on digitaloutbox.com, the website. You can email us info@digitaloutbox.com. And we're on Twitter and Skype as Digital Outbox. You can find me on Twitter sometimes. Very occasionally I tweet Cheesy UK. And I have a blog, which I tend to keep updated a little bit. AcademyRacer.co.uk. That covers all my racing antics. It's only 3 weeks to the start of the new season. So that will all start kicking off again soon. Ian, where can we find you?
My blog is ind.net. I'm on Twitter as Shweepa.
Wonderful. Okay, so we will talk to you again next week. It's been an emotional experience. Speak to you then. Bye-bye.
Ta-da.
I can't keep up.
It's just you missed a bit that said sail.
Sail. That word. It's a bit like missing out the word not in a statement sometimes.
Yeah.
That kind of reverses the situation. Right.